but it's also our awards chapel. So it's highly significant that you're here and that you're here to celebrate with the recipients of these awards, but they really represent a larger picture of our school. We wish everybody, like, it's not like I want to give a sticker or a gold medal to everybody, like everybody gets gold, but everybody works hard, and this is a special community. And so these awards represent the stellar student body that God has knit together here on our campus. And you'll understand each award. The descriptions will be read, and the recipients will be called forward. And you'll pause for a picture when you're called forward, and we'll shake hands, and you'll get your award. And in all of it, we want to celebrate God who called us here, who's called us into the ministry, and we want to acknowledge the hard work of the people who get the award given to them. I'm going to ask Barry to come and open our service with prayer.
Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for your grace and mercy to us that is fresh and new each day. God, we admit our constant need for it. Father, I thank you for each person in this room, for the hard work and dedication that they have shown, their faithfulness and diligence during this year of school. Father, I trust that you are looking down favorably on that work and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, thank you for the awards that will be received today. And Father, may they go out not just to have something on a wall, but to be representative of the kind of service that would bless and glorify you. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, although our school tends to emphasize the practical application side of learning, we do also recognize academic excellence. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to study to show yourself approved by God, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And to the Corinthians he wrote, "Therefore, whatever you do, do everything for God's glory." So at the end of each school year, we recognize those full-time students taking at least 10 credit hours in the fall semester who have achieved a 3.5 grade point average or higher. This year, there are 5 college students on the dean's list, and I would like to ask these students to please come forward at this time and receive their certificate. Alexander Brown, Clifford Drakes, Alexis Elliott, Tammy Hanbrook, and Miranda Ong. If you'd all come as a group, we'd like to congratulate you today. So this year there are also 13 seminary students on the dean's list, and as I call your name, please come on up and receive your certificate as a group as well. Jordan Bergen, Matthew Burks, James Cho, Russell Falk, Johanna Greenwood, Alicia Hine, Holly Isaac, Carson Meyer, Andre Manhivar, Ilya Menzies, Tamara Mitten, Christian Obando, and Elizabeth Watkins. It's always good to see new faces in that group with repeat offenders. So not only does the school recognize academic excellence, but so do our accrediting agencies as well. Our primary college accreditor, the Association of Biblical Higher Education, represents 200 schools across North America. ABHE has established a joint honor society called Delta Epsilon Chi for its member schools. And winners of this award are recognized by the association at their annual meeting in Orlando, Florida in February. Unfortunately, winners are not flown to the meeting, but being selected is an honor nonetheless. Members of Delta Epsilon Chi must exhibit outstanding academic scholarship, approved Christian character, and Christian leadership ability. This year's recipient of the Delta Epsilon Chi Honor Society Award is Andrew Davis. Andrew, would you come forward? The John Brown and Isabel Cunningham Christian Service Award was established by Cambrian Heights Baptist Church of Calgary in 1990 to honor the legacy of their founding pastor. The Cunninghams were pioneers in the establishment of churches in our Canadian Convention. Reverend Cunningham also had a heart for and investment in the training of pastors and leaders. This award recognizes a graduating student who demonstrates active service in a local church or church plant of the Canadian National Baptist Convention during his or her studies. The student should also demonstrate excellence in biblical scholarship, as well as concern for the spiritual and material welfare of others. In essence, the life of Christ, which was so evident in the Cunninghams. The faculty is pleased to announce that this year's Cunningham Award goes to Elia Menzies. The Mountain View Christian Fellowship Academic Merit Award is given annually to a Canadian citizen who is enrolled as a full-time student in a graduate program and has the highest grade point average in the previous fall semester. The student must have completed at least 18 credit hours of coursework and 9 hours in the last 2 terms to be eligible for the award, maintaining a cumulative GPA of at least 3.0. The faculty is pleased to announce that this year's MVCF Academic Merit Award goes once more to Alicia Hine. Since the year 2000, the seminary has been recognizing an outstanding student in his or her first year of studying New Testament Greek. Although final exams have not yet been completed, which all my students are looking forward to with great anticipation, this award recognizes the academic accomplishment of last year's semester in Greek 1 and coursework up until this week in Greek 2. The award is sponsored by Zondervan Publishing House, and the recipient receives a letter of congratulations, certificate of recognition, and a free book of their choice from Zondervan, which will help the student in his or her continued studies in the Greek New Testament. In addition, their name is inscribed on a plaque with the previous CSBS winners, our version of the Stanley Cup, which is kept in the academic suite in perpetuity. 2018 Zondervan Greek Award goes to Jordan Bergen.
The Randall Harper Preaching Award was instituted a number of years ago by the family of Randall Harper in honor not of a great preacher, but of a great listener to sermons and recorder of sermons as well. Dr. Harper is a longtime friend of our school who has come and videotaped just about every graduation and major event in the history of our school, and also loves our students, loves preaching, and will likely be around here again here in a couple of weeks. But we honor him and also honor a recipient. Each year that we have a preaching class in the second semester, it is awarded to an outstanding preacher for a specific sermon in the second semester, and the process of choosing this recipient is a two-step process. It involves student nominations and also the reviewing of videos by a rotating and secret group of judges that do not include the preaching professor every year. And the drama and the suspense of this award has been somewhat diffused in the last few years because we've started having the Preaching Award recipient preach in chapel the week before Awards Chapel. But it's great to take a moment to celebrate this achievement by this year's recipient, Russell Falk. Russell, would you come?
the Jesse Morales Evangelism Award. The origin of this award is Jesse Morales, who lived 1947 to 2009, served faithfully as a pastor and church planter in the Calgary area for almost 20 years. After accepting Christ, Jesse went through a radical transformation. He sensed God's call to ministry and moved to Cochrane, Alberta in 1989 with his family to begin studies at the Canadian Southern Baptist Seminary and even started a Filipina church in 1993 in Calgary. Known for his passion for sharing the gospel and his love for people, Jesse was an encouragement and example to everyone who crossed his path. The news that Jesse had contracted ALS was difficult for all to bear, but Jesse continued to share the love of the Lord as the disease ravaged his body. Together with his wife Kathy and his four daughters, his dear friends Pat and Susan Duggan established this reward in his memory. Each spring, members of the faculty of CSBS&C determine a student as a recipient of this award. The student receiving this award will demonstrate a passion to reach the lost, which is evidenced in his or her life. And preference is given to a graduating student. The recipient of this year's Jess Morales Evangelism Award is Trevor Scott. Some of you may remember Mark Dance, who was here for our spiritual emphasis week earlier in the year. Mark Dance is in charge of leading pastors for Lifeway Christian Resources. And on behalf of the president of Lifeway Christian Resources, Dr. Tom Rayner, he partners with our school to give the Lifeway Pastoral Ministry Leadership Award each year in this awards chapel. This award goes to a deserving seminary student who is graduating and gives clear evidence of the call of God on his life to pastoral ministry. So on behalf of Mark Dance and Dr. Tom Rayner, it is my honor to call back up Trevor Scott as the recipient of this year's Lifeway Award. For those who do not know, I was preceded in this position by my cousin Richard Blackaby, who served as president for 13 years. Prior to Richard, my uncle Henry was significantly concerned with theological education for Canadians in Canada, for ministry in Canada. And so upon Richard's departure from this role, he and his father set up the Blackaby Spiritual Leadership Award. The purpose of this would be to highlight and encourage the development of spiritual leaders among our student body. It will go to a student each year who best exemplifies spiritual leadership in their present ministry and conduct as a seminary or college student. It is a hope that the principles that they built their life on and as are represented in their book, Spiritual Leadership, would also be reflected in the life of the recipient of this award as well. This year's recipient of the Blackaby Spiritual Leadership Award is James Cho. It's the last chapel of the year. Know what I'm going to say? Time goes by fast. Every single year, I stand here in August and think, it's just going to stream by, but, you know, you get into the flow of life, you get in the flow of the semester, and then it's Christmas, and you think, holy smoke, half a academic year is gone already, and I think, oh, I'm not going to say it this year. But it just melts away, doesn't it? I've been thinking a lot about that, as I do usually at this time of year. I'm reminded of a scene. It was not really, there's no reason why it would have stuck out in my mind the way it has over these years, but over the last 3 years, it has become an image I have just come back to in my mind over and over again, evaluating how I'm living my life and expending my energy. It was a significant U.S. city, and it was during rush hour. I was coming out of the U.S. Corps, the core of the city, the downtown of the city, and there was a major artery that I had to exit off of,
And so I was on an interstate, and I come off this major exit. There are three lanes that exit. And so it's just bustling, and there's traffic everywhere. And as I come up on the off-ramp, ready to take this huge left turn, there is a disheveled man standing right on the curb as cars are streaming by him. And there's a distraught, overwhelmed look on his face. It's hot, and he's sweating, and he's dirty. And he's just trying to count every single car. And there's this look of exasperation as he's losing count, as all these cars are going by him. And I was one of them. I mean, I was in the flow of traffic, and I thought, what a strange thing to be doing. Who told him to count cars? Who told him to wake up this morning and go stand on that corner and count every single car? And if he didn't get every single car, every single license plate, somehow he would have failed. Why it sticks out in my mind is sometimes I wonder if I'm wasting time counting cars when nobody told me to count them. What am I spending my time on? Francis Chan, I read a quote by Francis Chan recently, and it said, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." He only had to say it once, but I'm going to repeat it. Our biggest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding in life at things that don't really matter. Brings that image back to my mind. You know, I was raised on the West Coast. In Vancouver, the tide goes way out on some of these mud/sand beaches, and you can go out in low tide and build spectacular sandcastles. But you shouldn't expect that those sandcastles will stand the test of time. Why? The tide comes in. It's useless to stand. You could try to build walls of sand as a protection against the tide, but as it creeps in, sooner or later, the sandcastle will return to the flat, sandy beach that it began from. I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm just saying, a lot of times in my life, I feel like I'm tempted to build sandcastles with the delusion that the tides of time are not going to come in and wash it back out to sea. I'm not saying that there aren't times for frivolous or temporary or transitory things in our life, but what I am saying is if that's all I'm concerned with, if my primary concern is with those transitory passing things, then I think at the end of my life I'll have only been counting cars. I will have succeeded at things that really don't matter. I have to stay focused. I think we have to spend our energy and our time on things of eternal value. Listen to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 to 26. "Let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil." A succession of steps is how vision for your life becomes reality. You've heard me say this a number of times. I've said it in courses that I teach. I've said it from this vantage point. But our life is composed of a sequence of choices. Each choice leads to the next one. And I have to stop and wonder the trajectory of these choices in my life. Just because you're in seminary doesn't mean that you are immune from wasting your life. Just because you're in college doesn't mean that you're immune from squandering your time on transitory things. Somewhere along the way, I have to stop and say, God, if this is the sequence of choices that I'm currently engaged in, where is the reasonable outcome going to be? Will it be honoring to God? 10 years from now, I don't know if any of us will be in this room 10 years from now. I mean, realistically, we don't know if any of us will be in this room tomorrow, but 10 years from now, I don't know if any of us will be in this room. Will we all still be walking for the glory of Christ and for the good of His people? We have to be intentional I think these verses, I'm just kind of giving you this introduction, but I think they demand focus, they demand adjustments from us, and they assume practical planning. Because our feet will walk according to the condition of our heart. So let me say a few things based on these verses. Verse 25, focus. When my son was little, I'm talking about my 6'5" son John, when he was small, 3-4 years old, I had a habit as a father that I broke, but at that time, I would grab his cheeks gently, and if he was distracted or if he wasn't listening, I'd grab his cheeks and I'd say, John, focus. You might have heard me tell this story. After a Wednesday night meeting, matter of fact, John was trying to tell me something, and I had picked him up, and I was holding him like this, and I was talking, and he was trying desperately to tell me something, and finally he reached over and grabbed my face and turned it to him and goes, Dad, focus. We got to focus. Got to focus. Yeah, the Christian life's not an accident. Christian maturity is not an accident. We don't just stumble upon it. We choose it. We sacrifice for it. We say that is of greater worth to me. It is a higher value to me than the sandcastles I might otherwise build on the beach. Our eyes must be focused on the proper goal. Proverbs 17:24 says, the wise person will have an unswerving directness, but the fool is easily distracted. It's a great companion verse. You know another great companion verse? You probably have already guessed it. Matter of fact, your mind might have been racing there while I was reading the Proverbs. What about Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? What about that? Where the writer Hebrews says, therefore, since we have also such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Is what I'm doing feeding my focus on Jesus? Knowledge isn't the goal. These awards are not granted because we celebrate knowledge. We celebrate Christ-likeness as expressed in all these different avenues, but we're feeding our focus on Jesus. Knowledge isn't the goal. Work is not the goal. Some of you are coming to the end of your seminary or college career, and you're wondering what on earth is next, and if I could only just land that job. But that's not the focus. I mean, that's helpful, and there will be an assignment from the Father for you, but work is not the focus. Ministry is not the focus. Church is not the focus. Jesus is the focus. He's the goal. He's the destination and the journey. To know Him and to make Him known is the focus. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Verses 26 and 27 talk to me about being intentional. If Jesus is my focus, then I'm going to have to be intentional in the way I live my life. If you would have asked me 20, 25 years ago, younger in ministry, if I thought the average person was living an intentional life, I would have told you, probably so. I mean, who wouldn't? I don't think I believe that anymore. I don't know how many of us examine the life that we're living on a regular basis to determine not if I'm happy with it, but is the Father happy with it? Not is it moving my goals forward, but is it moving Christ's goals forward? Weigh up your course of action is what the proverb says. Examine it. Search it out. Live an intentional life. Verse 26 says, carefully prepare the way by the removal of anything that will prevent unhindered progress and make my way suddenly insecure. We must remove anything that can become a moral hindrance or a dangerous obstacle in our life so that we can make spiritual progress. I think we have an enemy. And if you were to say what is a great aim of our enemy, I would say Satan is at work, not always pressing you to disobey, though he will, but sometimes just simply pressing you to obey tomorrow. Procrastinate. Stay in this sequence of the choices one more day. The danger, why that's spiritually deadly, is I presume that tomorrow I'll even have the mental, spiritual wherewithal to discern that I'm on a wrong course. But 24 hours can dumb me to the whisper of the Spirit, and I can stay headlong, rushing towards a deadly destination. It reminds me of Isaiah 30:21. 1989, I was moving from Vancouver to Fort Worth, Texas, to be a seminary student. I'd been studying in Isaiah. Like many of you, I was asked in my application to give my testimony. And was there a verse that I was chewing on? And this was the verse for me as a young man preparing to serve as a pastor or a church leader. It was that in that day, your teacher won't be hidden from you anymore. And you're going to hear a voice behind you if you want to go left or right saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know, this danger of going to the left or the right to kind of roam to the boundary lands of the highway, it's not just here that it's referenced in Proverbs 4. It's also referenced in Deuteronomy 5:32, in Deuteronomy 17:11, Deuteronomy 28:14, Joshua 23:6. This fear, don't go left or right. Stay dead center. Make sure that your bead is set and you continue to make spiritual progress. What's the big idea? Don't be distracted. There are a million things in life that will distract us. Beware of a journey that will take you indirectly to whatever destination you think God has for you. Head straight for it. It will require major life adjustments. Some of you might say, oh, if I could give a testimony, I made a major adjustment to move here. I'd say that may be the case. But that major adjustment may pale in comparison to what God will require next. It will require major adjustments. I say in one of the classes I teach that I feel like a lot of times there is a price tag on us or on the future that God has for us. But it's left blank. And eventually in our life, Jesus picks up a pen and he fills in the price and says, Rob, will you pay this? Just like I'm at a department store, look at the price, and I'll either choose yes, that's a price I'll pay, or no, I don't want that garment after all. Our responsive mood has got to be harnessed to action. You spent an entire school year here. Life changes here. Well, some of you have spent the spring school season with us. Many of you have spent the entire year with us. And we say life changes here. God has been massaging your heart. It's not just been in the classroom. It's been in community. It's been in your church home. It's been just in your quiet time with the Lord as he's been speaking to you. He's been pressing things on you. And you think, well, God, I'm going to do something about that, but just give me the summer. And I would say, be very careful. When the Spirit of God is speaking into your life, it has to be immediately harnessed with action, with response. Maintain the simplicity of your walk with Christ. Make it your habit to make immediate application of biblical teaching. Go back through your notes before they get cold. They're still fresh for many of you because you're about to take final exams. You're going to go through those notes. I pray to God it doesn't deteriorate into just an academic exercise for you, but that whatever scripture you're studying, whatever words from the Bible you're studying, they would stay vibrant and spirit-infused, and that as God is speaking to you from his word, you would say, before this gets cold, I'm going to make an action plan to do something about it because I want to let my eyes look forward and fix my gaze straight ahead. I want to carefully consider the path for my feet and all my ways would be established, and I won't turn to the right or the left, and I will keep my feet away from evil. If we will do that, We will be useful ministers in the hand of the King as he extends his kingdom in Canada, North America, and now around the world through this graduating student body. Would you pray with me? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.